Blog Talk Radio.
Was he here for a funeral not today? When the Lord said, call your soul away. If you labored, striving for the light, you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When that trumpet sounds, when that trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. I'll be not like the foolish virgins did. For he's coming, and you know that when have your red lamps on, trimmed and burning bright, then you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds, when the trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Now it at last I hold out to the end. Jesus is an everlasting friend. If I serve in the church, he found it. I shall wear a burden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds, when the trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds, when the trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Now if you fight, we'll fight a faith, and with patience run the race. When you lay your gospel armor down, then you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds, when the trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. That goes between now if you fight that good fight of faith, and with patience run the race. When you lay your gospel armor down, then you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds, when the trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. I don't know about you, but that song won't get you excited just thinking about the goodness and the grace of God, what he has for us, that mansion, robe, and crown, that place prepared for you and for myself, for living in a world dealing with trouble, dealing with issues, but living a life that Christ is pleased with, under the umbrella of obedience to God, in relationship with God. God has reward, and the reward is far greater than the challenges that we go through. Amen, somebody. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty good today. God is an awesome God, and beside him, there is no other. Let's see a couple more songs. Good to see you guys as you're coming on. If you share this video, I appreciate it. See you, Brother Jeff Burton. Good to see you, JP. Stuart Johnson, good to have you with us. Hope things are well there in Philip Bend. Marie said, give her a call. She'd like to talk with you. She said, for some reason, she can't seem to find your number, so I sent her number to you. So if you would do kindly give her a ring, then we will be able to reunion again once again. Ruby Andrews, good to see you. Excuse me, Ruby Andrews. But Ruby Williams, good to see you today. And Mary McHenry, praise God for you, mother. And we're just so glad to have you guys with us today. And others that are coming on, if you just share the video, we definitely appreciate that as well. See you. Give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. And it's good enough for me, for it makes me love everybody, makes me love. Everybody makes me love. Everybody, and it's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. And it's good enough for me. So give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. It's good enough for me, for it will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's good enough for me again. Give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. For it's good enough for me. Again, this is Pastor Mac Peter with the Golgotha Church of Christ Sunday evening. Praise God. And we are just having a grand time in the Lord. And we just want to make sure that you as well who are tuned in will also enjoy it and also be able to renew a new relationship, a deeper relationship with the God of heaven who is so deserving and has done so much for each and every one of us. This is the time of year where which kind of moves around on the calendar a little bit, but this is the time of year where the world calls it Easter. And Easter is a time that the world focuses on the resurrection of Jesus, when he hung, bled, and died on Golgotha Hill, when they beat him a very bad death, mocked him, ridiculed him, put a crown of thorns on his head and made it look like the blood running like a Rand McNally roadmap. They crucified my Savior, put nails in his feet, nails in his hands, pierced him in the side, hung him between two thieves, an innocent man treated with the ability to be a criminal. He was criminalized, and then Pilate put a sign above him saying that he is the king of the Jews. They had a problem with that because they wanted him to say he said he was. But Pilate eventually had to come around and say, what I placed there is what it is. I may have made a bad decision. I've got him hanging on the cross. I can't change that. But what he is, who he is. And God proved at that very moment that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. He was the anointed one. You know what happened? Third hour of the day, crucified him. Turned pitch black. The hottest part of the day where the sun was usually shining the brightest, 12 noon, the sixth hour of the day. It's dark outside. He hung there for 3 hours till the ninth hour, 3 o'clock. Such a shame. So much so that an earthquake took place. The centurion looked up and said, this is the Son of God. No doubt in his mind, had never experienced anything catastrophic or even dangerous as what was about to take place. So folks were running for cover. Such a blessing to know Jesus. And I would like to inquire of you today, if you don't know him in the part of your heart, those of you that are tuning in today on our radio show, Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ, which is broadcasting live right now, not only in the continental United States, but in Canada, in Norway, and then we've been added to the United Kingdom, praise God. We just get one more soul to listen. One more soul to take research. One more soul to hear. God is an awesome God. We're so glad to have you guys that are here. We're praying for you as I ask you to pray for me. And we pray for one another. Oh, I've asked us to pray for someone that she works out with at the gym. I think the name is Kate. But just pray, because God knows what we all need. We're going to sing one more song, then we're going to have our invocation, then we're going to prepare ourselves for communion, glorious time with the Lord. And then if you can meet me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll take a look at verses 19 and 20. See if we can grasp some golden nuggets there. We won't be long, but we hope to be strong and to be able to give you something to chew on this evening that will take and carry you into the night with God, have your mind centered with the Lord, and also to wake up, if it be God's will, with God on your mind. I woke up this morning with my mind. Don't you know it was still on Jesus? Well, I said I woke up this morning with my mind. Don't you know it is still, it's still on the Lord? I said I woke up this morning with my mind. Don't you know it is still, still on Jesus? Well, hallelujah.
It's still on the Lord. I was
as I walk in and talk, get with my man. Why don't you know what it's still? Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I keep on singing and praying with my mind. Don't you know what it's still? Strong Jesus, hey, I keep a singing and praying with my mind. Don't you know it is still? It's still on the door. I keep a singing and praying with my mind. Why don't you know it is still? Strong Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said I woke up this morning with my mind. Don't you know it is still? Oh, Jesus. Well, I said I woke up this morning with my mind. Don't you know it is still? It's still on the Lord. I said I woke up this morning. Then with my mind, why don't you know it is still? Still on Jesus, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Amen. Get a drink of water here. Let us have a word of prayer. Good to see you, Lanier Jacobs. Praise God for you. Happy Easter to everyone. We want to make sure that we have made this day a holy day and not just a holiday. Where the Cadbury Bunny, the rainbow eggs. So what we want to do is make sure that we focus on what it's all about, which is Jesus. His substitutionary death to us on the cross. I see you here, Violet Compton, praise God for you. Again, you guys, if you could share this video, we appreciate it. God died for you, for me. While we were yet sinners. Before our human existence. He took on the booger bears of this world and all the sin of this world so that you and I might have a better life. You and I might be able to live the abundant living. You and I might have a right to the tree of life. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we come to you at this time thanking you the best we know how. Thanking you for who you are, what you do in our lives, and for what you have allowed us to experience, Father, for even though some of those things may seem to be tumultuous in our lives, they are learning experiences that help take us to a deeper relationship and dependency on you. And for that, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for carrying us through. Thank you for helping us, because you've been battle tested. And so the things that we go through are literally nothing. You've had spikes in your hand and a spike in your feet. We cry when we sell the nail and our body has not been pierced at all. But in spite of all that, you have given your all for mankind. So much so that you share your precious, valuable, pure, unadulterated blood for my sins and the sin of the world. And for that, I want to say thank you. Praying for Kate today, Father, I ask you to bless her and keep her in the situation that she's dealing with. Strengthen her in ways that you know that she so readily stands in need of. We want to come to you with a praise report, thanking you for 29 years of marriage, for my brother from another mother, Pastor Luke Miles Sr., and his lovely wife, Kim, First Lady Miles, and that entire great family. Ask you to bless them and keep them with many more. Keep his mind, keep their mind centered in love. Father, thank you for just the time I got a chance to spend this past week with Brother Lopez, and we ask you to continue to allow our relationships to grow, that we'll be able to nourish one another, encourage one another, and be able to be there for one another as you would have for us to be. We're praying also, Father, for the body of Christ wherever it exists throughout the course of this world. Ask you to continue to bless us, be long-suffering with us, and strengthen us. All the way over in India, we're praying a special prayer today for the son of Javon Jesse, who, as he said, had fits which are seizures. And we know the seriousness of a seizure and the uncontrollable ability when you're in that process. We're praying for safety for his son, praying for understanding for the family, and praying for a cure for his situation. Father, we believe that you are an on-time God. Father, we believe that you are a great healer. Father, I believe that you are the everything that mankind would ever want. And I am motivated by conviction, even on today, that the Word of God, the Bible that you have given to us, is God's Word in written format. I believe even today that the Bible contains a divine answer to the deepest needs of my human experience and any other dusty-eyed traveler. I believe even today that the Bible sets forth the way to my eternal well-being. I want to live a way that you will be pleased with, so that I don't miss out on my reward and I receive that mansion, robe, and crown that you have prepared for me. Father, not for me only, for all those who love you and follow you in obedience. I'm asking you, Father, with all my heart, that you will continue to bless us in ways we stand in need of. Just got a message from my wife. I said Kate, but the name is Kay. I see you've been to Guadalupe. Praise God for you, bro. All the way out in California. Praying that that new album is going to do well. My wife asked me to pray for Kay in the establishment of her, expanding her business. That's what it is. Her hairstylist is getting ready to make some expansion. And she's asked for a special prayer and asked for us to continue to mention her name. She does an incredible work, praying, God, that you will continue to bless her and strengthen her and keep her in ways she stands in need of. Also, very special prayer for Brother and Sister Howard. Ask you to be with Brother Howard. Good to see you, Eric Schaefer. We ask you to be with Brother Howard in ways he stands in need of. For he's been ill. And I guess he's still holding on. So thankful for that, Father. Then we're praying for, we have to ask for prayer for our brothers and sisters, family, for our daughters, just for everybody. For we all stand in need of prayer. Pray also for those that you are sending today, Father, that loves you. Good friend of mine, Eric Schaefer, and his lovely family, I should bless them and keep them. Praying for nearby the Compton, I should be with her and strengthen her where she stands in need of, but her family as well. Praying for the Miles family as well. Little brother Trey, I should be with him and strengthen him in ways he stands in need of. Special prayer for Anita Jacobs, I should be with her and her family, as well as Mary McKinley, Ruby Andrews, Dolores Stewart Johnson, and Jeff Burke. We're so thankful for them. Praying for my mother. Praying for my family. It's good to talk to my sister Phyllis. Good to hear a report about my brother Butch. Good to hear a report about my cousin Tim. Praying for my cousin Carmel and all of us who are striving to do better and have health issues, that we will stand strong and continue to be what you would have for us to be. It's good to hear from Brother Harold Walker today. I ask you to bless him and keep him. Got a text today also from Big Joe. I ask you to be with him and strengthen him, that his work is going well and that he's able to continue to maintain, that he will stay in the graces of God that you've given us. And Father, as we get ready to go to have communion and then also be able to feast on a portion of your word today, we pray that we'll be able to take some, not just appetizers, but we'll be able to have a full course from your word. This will be enough. We ask that in Jesus' name, let us collectively say amen and amen again. See you, Joy Rio. Praise God for you. So we prepare for the communion. Holding on, holding on. Lord, I'm going to keep on holding on. Well, we gotta keep holding on, holding on, holding on. Lord, I'm gonna keep on, keep on, holding on. Someone got to sing with Brother Larry Gray. I've never been to heaven, but I have been told. Willie Gray. Lord, I'm going to keep on, holding on. They say the streets up there, they are paved with gold. Lord, I'm going to keep on, holding on. Lord, we got to keep holding on. Holding on, holding on. Lord, I'm gonna keep on, keep on, holding on. Oh, we gotta keep on holding on, holding on, holding on. Lord, I'm gonna keep on, holding on. Now, if you get to heaven before I do, then I'm gonna keep on holding on. Tell all my friends that I'm coming to, then I'm gonna keep on, keep on. Holding on, we gotta keep on holding on, holding on, holding on. Lord, I'm gonna keep on holding on. Church, we gotta keep on holding on, holding on, holding on. Lord, I'm gonna keep on holding on. We find in Acts 20:7. There was upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse 23. He pens these words, "For I received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Bread. "And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, he also took the cup, and after he had supped, said, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. But let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many were sick and weakly among you, and many did sleep.'" Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. I pray we take it with clean hands and a pure heart as we look to Jesus. As we look to Jesus. As we look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' holy and divine name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You may now take up the bread and the wine. Good to see you, Sister Pam Potts. You want to call in on 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767 if you're having an audio problem. Once again, area code 619-924-0767. My wife is on there. Others may be coming on as well on our Blog Talk Radio line. That will take care of your audio problem if you can't hear off of Facebook Live. One more song as we prepare our mind for the Word of God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. What a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, and lost, washed in his blood. I see a Charles Barber for the Pentagon. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior for all the days of old. For this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, vision of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy and whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song. A
I'm praising my Savior with the day long. For this is my salary, and this is my song. I'm praising my Savior every day long. Perfect submission, all of that to rest. See, I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. Here with his goodness and lost in his love. Amen, somebody. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior with a great hope. For this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior every day long. That verse again. Perfect submission and all of that to rest. Amen. See, I in my Savior am I happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking about, filled with his goodness and lost in his love. For this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior with a good Lord. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. We all have a story. We all have a song. The Bible, the Holy Bible, is history. This is his story. If you take the word history, H-I-S, separated and added S, this is the story of Jesus. What God has given to us, sent down through 32 generations in the book of Matthew, 72 generations in the book of Luke, all the way back to the first Adam, or back to Abraham. We're just so excited about understanding and learning a little bit more of Jesus. This day, I'm so glad, it's not about a bunny rabbit. It's not about colored eggs. Although you may enjoy those things and have a family day, but don't forget the purpose of this day. It's not about chocolate eggs or marshmallow bunnies. It's not about hip-hop music. It's not about food. It's about Jesus. And so we just need to really thank God for what he's done in our lives, what he allows us to experience. And even though it may seem difficult, you may be going through some things. You may not even forgive yourself from things that happened in your childhood. Understand that God knows. And he's brought you this far. And he brought you too far
for you to turn around. Turn to him. That's what repentance is all about. Turning away from self, turning away from the world, turning away from the lust of the world, and turning to Jesus, giving God your all. Text we chose today deals essentially with the resurrection and how it really affects our faith. We're going to be dealing with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The focus is going to be on verses 19 and 20, but I'm going to start at the beginning of the 15th chapter to read for my own listening pleasure, for I enjoy the Word of God, and I hope you do too. Now, brothers, I'm reading the Holman Study, Christian Study Bible, read from your translation. I want to clarify for you the gospel I proclaim to you. You received it and have taken your stand on it. I see you, Sister Justina. Praise God for you. Hope things are going well. I think you're in Oklahoma. You are also saved by it if you hold to the message I proclaim to you. Paul writing a very poignant letter to the church at Corinth. So much stuff was going on in Corinth. Look at verse 2. You also are saved by it, talking about the gospel, if you hold to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believed for no purpose. Your translation may say believed in vain. You may believe for no purpose at all. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It was scripted for this, right? That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Scriptures are important. They verify the existence of Christ. And then he appeared to Cephas, which is Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to over 500 brethren at one time. Peter saw him. 12 apostles saw him. 500 brethren saw him at one time. And Paul says, well, he wrote this letter, most of them are still alive. So at that time, not this time, but at that time, there were people still alive that could give eyewitness testimony of seeing Jesus resurrected. He said some of them, most of them were still alive, but some of them had fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James. Then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one abnormally born, he also appeared to me. Paul says he saw him too. But Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle. Why, Paul? Because I persecuted the church of God. If you know Paul's story, he was Saul before he was Paul, and he was no joke. What he thought he was doing was right, even though it was scripturally wrong, and it was displeasing to God. God saw his conviction, challenged him, he accepted the challenge, became a man of God. But by God's grace, I am what I am. Can you say that today? but by God's grace, no one else's favor, but God's favor on your life, that you are what you are today, then you can feel like what Paul is talking about. You can kind of grasp a bit of what Paul is talking about. And then he says, and his grace toward me was not ineffective. God just keeps on blessing me in spite of my unworthy. However, I worth more than any of them. Yet not I, but God's grace that was with me. Therefore, whether it is I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have believed. Hearing the right message from God's people can cause you to believe. Verse 12, getting into where we're going here. The essentialness of faith through the resurrection. The Bible says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Isn't that a shame? The witnesses, Paul has already stated, but now there's still some of you, some of them are still alive, but there's some of you still not accepting that testimony. And even today, even though all those have passed on, we have the scripture to validate and to give us the witness. People still don't believe. I see you, Carmen Winters, praise God for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're starting with now in verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. Notice, if you condemn one side, then you're saying it didn't happen. You're saying it's all a lie. And if Christ had not been raised, then our proclamation is without foundation. The preaching of the word of God has no bearing if Christ wasn't raised from the dead. Not only that, and so is your faith. Your faith is vanity, is no good, has no purpose if Christ was not raised from the dead. Powerful things. If there was no resurrection, Christ was not raised from the dead, then the proclamation that you speak about God has no foundation. And your faith is without purpose. In addition, verse 15, we are found to be false witnesses about God. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified about God that he was raised up, that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up if in fact the dead are not raised. So not only are you saying that the foundation of the preaching is no good, not only are you saying that the faith that's been placed in God is no good, but now you're calling the apostles liars that he wasn't raised from the dead. For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, says your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. So you ain't got away from your sin. Well, you thought that what you prayed, you thought that you was in better shape. No, you're in no better shape if you don't believe. If you don't have faith in God, if Christ was never risen from the dead, if it's just a fairy tale, then everything that you've been foundationed with, and probably the family lines are foundationed with, is hogwash. Christ, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, is what it says. Has no value. And you are still in your sin. And if you're still in your sin, that means you're a walking dead. Therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. Verse 19, which is where 19 and 20, which is where we're taking our text from today. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. If you don't think that there's a resurrection, you're in trouble. Verse 20, but, the three-letter word that changes things, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. Let's get rid of all that talk. Let's get rid of all that bogus, all that damnation, all that doubt. Because the fact is, he has been raised. Paul says he's a witness. Says the 12 were witnesses. 500 brethren were witnesses. People saw him, touched him, interacted with him multiple times. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. Notice what he says now. Don't miss yourself. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came to a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Don't miss your shouting moment. But each in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes to the end when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. For God has put everything under Christ's feet. But when it says everything is put under him, it is obvious that he who puts everything under him is the exception. And when everything is subject to Christ, then the Son himself will also be subject to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. Let's go back to our text verses today. 1 Corinthians 15, 19, and 20. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. Why you having a pity party? Because you don't believe. But now, let's set the record straight. Let the evidence speak for itself. But now, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The Bible tells us, Paul is trying to get us to wrap our mind around in these next few moments that because Christ has been raised from the dead, Paul declares that those that believe him, the believing dead, must be raised as well. Why? Because of their relationship to Christ. See, it's all about relationship to Christ. My wife talks about that all the time. You got to have a relationship with God. It's not just, man, I wear a strong cross. Do you bear your 100-pound patibule? We got to have a belief that has no doubt that Jesus Christ hung there and died for your sins and mine. That he went to an excruciating death. And he was raised by the Father on the third day. Well, he got up. He got up with all power in his hands. And as we've been teaching in Acts 1 and 2, especially verse chapter 1, we see that he spent time with the 12, well, the 11 at that time, and the 12 yet, and before he went for his ascension, and he ate with them. had many infallible proofs. Spent time with them. Thomas no longer doubt. Put your hand in my side. Others who won't have this opportunity, I need you to experience this and not doubt no more. Because Christ has been raised, Paul declares, Paul makes a declaration. He declares that those that believe Christ, that the believing there must be raised with him because of relationship to Christ. Family reunion, folks. God is my relative. I belong to him. He belongs to me. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It is a fact that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. But what I want, the purpose I want us to see here, or I want you to ponder for the remainder of this day, is that the resurrection is far more than anybody's triumph over death. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. As we read in 1 Corinthians, what we call the rapture, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 13 through 20, those that are asleep will rise first, and those that are alive will meet in the air. That great getting up morning. We see here that Christ not only was the example, but the ensample. Christ himself was the first fruits of those who fallen asleep. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23, the priestly book. Leviticus chapter 23. And we're going to look at verse 15. The Bible says, are you there? You have to count 7 complete weeks, starting from the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the presentation offering. I see you, Sharon and Pharaoh. Praise God for you. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 19 through 20 is our text, and we're looking at Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 16, you are to count 50 days until the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. It says, bring 2 loaves of bread for your settlements as a presentation offering, each of them made of 4 quarts of fine flour, baked with yeast, as what? First fruits to the Lord. God has, and he wanted them to do, follow a specific thing, to bring the first of what has been produced to God. God needs the blessing. Well, Jesus, as a priest, was the first fruits of those who were falling asleep. They never thought of it that way. He was a sign. The first fruits indicated that the entire harvest was still in the fall. This was a sign that pointed to what was to come. And if you think of a sign never points to itself, but it always points to something. From driving in Chicago, I'm coming down Interstate 90. And I'm leaving Wisconsin, coming, and I see a sign that says Illinois. Or when I get to Illinois, I'll get close to the Illinois border, I'll see a sign that says Chicago. I'm not at Chicago yet. I'm just crossing over the Wisconsin border into Illinois, but I'm going towards Chicago. As I get closer to Chicago, the sign no longer places to Chicago. They point the streets coming up to Chicago because they are in Chicago, but they're on the place to Chicago. The next sign will say Indiana. Or we get over by 57 and it says Memphis. It's not where you're at, it's the beginning of where it's going. A sign does not point to itself, a sign points to where it's what it represents. Jesus being the first fruit indicated he was the sign that the entire harvest was coming. And the Bible talks about rest, talks about those that are asleep. It's a euphemism for the death of all believers. That there's a death of unbelievers. And when he talks about rest and sleep, he ain't talking about them. But he's talking about those that are believers. Those that have obeyed the gospel call. Those that have been baptized for the remission of their sins. Those that have received the newness of life. Romans 6:3-4, know you not that so many of us have been baptized? Have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Turn with me over there to Romans 6 as we close this lesson down today. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply or grace may abound? Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. My mother's Dr. Cardinal Harper said, that's preposterous. So I said, how can we who have died or are dead to sin still live in it? Poses a very pertinent question. Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? See, baptized into Christ places you into Christ's death. Therefore, verse 4, we are what? Buried with him. So you are alive, he was buried in a broad tomb, and we are buried with him by baptism into Christ's death. In order that, or so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father. Don't miss this now. It's the same Father that raised Jesus from the dead that can resurrect you out of your addiction. The same Father that has raised Jesus from the dead can help and rescue you from lying, can take care of your sin problem. We have hope. Praise God. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism and death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life, a newness of life. Those that are following on, I see you following with us, kind of when I see you. Newness of life. The first fruits of all believers who have died. If you follow God, God has a mansion and a crown waiting for you. There is reward waiting for you. God wants to take you to heaven with him. And before we close out, let's go to the rapture text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapters 4. Verse 13. And I'll leave you with this as a message for today. Find comfort in Christ. Return. But he can't return if he wasn't raised from the dead. If you don't believe he's ascended to heaven and he's sitting by the Father waiting on instruction to come back and get his church, then your foundation of understanding is in vain. Your living is in vain. Will not be a party that you'll want to be a part of. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. We do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant, brothers, concerning those who are, here it is, asleep, that euphemism of those that have been dead in Christ, those believers, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. To be with no hope have a problem. People with hope don't grieve the same way because they have something, they have a lifeline to hold on to. That's Jesus. Since we believe, I see you, Terry Thompson, praise God for you. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going with God. Can you say that? I'm going with God. Are you going that way? I'm going with God. So we say this to you by the revelation from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God. Come on now. And the dead in Christ will rise first. There's that great getting up morning. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, not here on earth, but to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we always be with the Lord. Amen. Verse 18. In your discomfort, encourage someone. Encourage yourself. Comfort yourself this way. The Bible says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. What you believe about God is real. What you believe about the resurrection of Jesus is real. Whether you believe he hung, bled, and died for your sins, he did. And you, through repentance and confession and baptism, can be, through regeneration, family to him. There's a five-step plan for saving mankind, to making sure that you're in a safe environment. Is God your refuge today? I see your plan. Is God your refuge today? Is he your sanctuary city? Will Jesus be your covering? Is he your doctor when you're sick? Is he your lawyer when you're in court? Is he your all in all? Not only was he the anointed one and the long-awaited Savior, is he your Messiah? Is he your Adonai? What God says you do. He's Master. He's Teacher. He is Lord. We are student. We are pupil. How do I come to Jesus? I'm glad you asked that question. On the day where the world celebrates Easter, I want you to understand how you too can be resurrected. You don't have to walk like a zombie or a mummy, walking tombstone. You can be rest assured. You can have certainty that God, that you're with God, and that God's with you. not just shouting and whatsoever else and acting this and jumping up and down and running up and down. No. That ain't what it is. It's giving your life to God through obedience, being quiet, letting God talk to you, and allowing God to change your life from the inside out. Amen, somebody. Comes by hearing his word. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, believing his word. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and must cause you to repent. Luke 13:3-5. Turn to God. Quit turning from God. Quit getting busy doing 360s and relinquish or surrender to God. Luke 13:3-5. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. I must cause you to confess the sweetest name that ever rolled off a mortal's tongue. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I see you, Monica Gates. Praise God for you. Matthew 10:32, he that confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And he that denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Folks, you're going to need a great attorney. And Jesus is going to be the only one that can answer that call. I see you, Mom. Praise God for you. And then you must be buried in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin. You can't be sprinkled, you can't be christened, you can't be poured on. You must be buried in that watery grave of baptism. Why? Because that old life must die. Anything buried must be dead because it stinks. So that you can rise to that newness of life, that first fruit of believers who will come after Jesus that he talked about in Romans 6:4. He's that harvest that is going to be given to God on that great getting that morning. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin? If you don't, heaven will never be your home. But if you are peculiar. If you love God so much that you're just curious, you are willing to surrender life so that you can see what God has for you on the other side, that you really want to live with God in eternity, rather than burn in damnation hell with Satan and his men for eternity. That's a choice we have the opportunity of making. It's a logical choice we can make, and you make it not by what you say, but how you live your life with God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What about you today? If you want to talk about it, you can give us a call, 619-924-0767, 619-924-0767. We'll pick up the phone. We'll talk to you right now. Praise God. We'll sing a song that hopefully encourages you. Think about Jesus. As you bend your knee and say your prayer this evening, asking God to wake you in the morning. Think about what God has done for you. Get out a sheet of paper and write down what you've done for him. And get out a whole pad of paper and start writing what he's done for you. And then you weigh the two to see which one's heavier. All night and all day, I know who they hate. Watches over me, my Lord, and all night and all day. I know the angel watches over me,
Did you watch over me all night, all day? I know the angels watches over me, my Lord, and all night, and all day. I know the angels watches over me. So I went to the church house where I used to pray. I know the angels watches over me, my Lord. And my soul got happy, and I stayed over there. I know the angels, they are watching over me. They keep watching over me all night. All day, all day, I know the angels watches over me, my Lord. And all night, and all day, I know the angels watches over me. Every night, before bed asleep, I know the angel watches over me, my Lord. And I pray to the Lord, my soul, Lord, it will keep. I know the angels, they are watching over me. They keep watching over me all night, all day, all day. I know the angels watches over me, my Lord, and all night, and all day. I know the angels watches over me. They keep watching over me all night, all day. I know the angels watch over me, my Lord, and all night, and all day, I know the angel watches over me.
Amen. This ministry is blessing you and it helps you. Do not be remiss to, if you'd like to send in a donation, you can do it on our website, www.golgothachurchofchrist.com. All one word, G-O-L-G-O-T-H-A, churchofchrist.com. There is a donation tab. You can make a tithe offering or you can make a general offering from a dollar to any amount. You can text me or make a comment here. We can reach you through PayPal. We also have the Cash App. We also have Western Union. You can mail in. However you choose to do it. But bless. Make a seed offering to bless someone else as his ministry continues to grow. We're so thankful God has brought us through 8 years. 8 years for the Golgotha Church of Christ. And now we're a full-blown ministry online. And we're reaching people in Norway, in Canada, in India, throughout the continental United States, and the United Kingdom has just been added to us. We're so thankful. I see my brother Dwayne Anderson is on. Praise God for you and your family. Once again, we've been praying for you. I want to say congratulations to you, your dear wife, and we asked you to. We ask God to continue to bless your ministry as you've taken over the ministry there. And welcome to the foolishness of preaching. For it takes the foolishness of preaching to save those that are lost. Love you, bro. Hope to see you soon. Pam Potts sends in a message. That was well done, Brother PV. Always do love your singing. Sing another one, please. As we get ready to leave out of the request of Sister Pam Potts and my Sunday school teacher, Richard Potts, and a tribute to class number 8, praise the Lord. We want you to continue to look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith. As soon as I see the number, I want to say this. Praise God for you, Lanier Jackets. Thank you for your blessings. We're sending and praying for one another. As we close out, this will be the final song. Do something for somebody that can't repay you for giving Jesus Christ and crucifying. And we'll see you Thursday night as we collaborate with Armed and Dangerous Ministries for the study to show thyself approved Bible study. Also, if you have some prayer requests, start to pack them in or send a message to me, because sometime either this week or next week, we're going to start our morning prayers. I don't know what time in the morning we're going to start the prayers. I have to balance my schedule, make sure I get enough rest. I definitely want to. It's an important thing to go to God early in the morning and with targeted prayers. You may have something specific that we can pray for together. Amen, somebody. Love you. Have a great day. Do something for somebody that can't repay you for giving Jesus Christ and crucified. At the conclusion of this song, we will sign off. Sing hallelujah. When we reach that city of a New Jerusalem, we're singing hallelujah, sing hallelujah by and by. And all the ransom singers will together with that hymn. We're singing hallelujah, sing hallelujah by and by. And oh, what joy when we get home, we'll rest beneath that cloudless throne in that land where saints never die. Well, we'll sing hallelujah, by and by. Now victory and love will be our everlasting theme. Well, we'll sing hallelujah, by and by, and praising our Redeemer there beside the crystal stream. Well, we'll sing hallelujah, by and by, and oh, what joy when we get home. We'll rest beneath on that cloudless throne, and in that land where saints never die. Well, we'll sing hallelujah, by and by. Now in that mighty chorus, voices will so sweetly blend. Well, we'll sing hallelujah, by and by. Gone will be our sadness, pleasures there will never end. Well, we'll sing hallelujah, by and by. Say, oh, what joy when we get home. We'll rest beneath the cloudless throne, and in that land where saints never die. Well, we'll sing hallelujah, by and by. Singing home with joy when we get home. We'll rest beneath that cloudless throne, and in that land where saints never die. Well, let's sing hallelujah, by and by. Have a great day. God bless you in the name of the Lord. Good night.
Call your soul.